You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Papa's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like them bitter.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with Captain Jim Fortman and Captain Alex Dolinsky.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning. We're having a good time here.
It's always a good time when you're talking fishing.
That's right.
And food.
Yeah, now, me and Alex were just talking about something just, you know, while we were on a break. And this is actually some really good information for clients on this one.
You got to make it quick. We got Captain Steve standing by.
Steve can wait.
Actually, no,
Steve might even
time.
Actually need this information because we got the romp in the swamp coming up. He was saying about, do you ever open a bail? You know, when you got these stubborn fish, you know, like you were saying with grouper, they get down in the hole, open the bail, they'll swim their way out.
Yeah.
With snook, the biggest killer is when people are just reeling against that dragon. They don't realize they're letting more line out than they're gaining.
Yes.
And, yes, I do open the bail on a fish that is going ballistic on low tide where they are just running so fast, especially with tarpon. They'll just start running,
right.
Open that bail up, let them calm down.
Let them calm down.
We'll get right to them.
They don't feel that resistance.
Right. As soon as that resistance lays off, they'll calm down, and then you get just
Captain
get
Alex
back on
and
it.
I actually had a bass trip like that one time where we had a big bass that got buried deep down into the vegetation, and we had to back way off the tension, and then the fish just swam right out, and we got them. Yeah. All right, heading over to line one, because we've got Captain Steve Johnson with Fish Dash Florida standing by. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Captain Debbie, Captain Jim, and Captain Alex and I.
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning,
Captain Steve.
Hey, guys. Sounds like a great show. One thing I wanted to mention, and you guys may have already hit it, and I might have missed it, but one big difference between where Jim's at and where's Alex at is the crowd.
Amen.
No, we didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah, no.
We don't have any condos in the background either. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. When you go south, you're just kind of on your own down there. So.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. When they say there's a shadow line on the west wall.
Yeah.
on the east wall. And it's like you're like, yeah, the sun will come up around 10 o'clock, you know, once you get past those condos.
That's right. So,
yeah, Steve, what's going on in the tournament and event world? What you got for us this week?
We got quite a few things happening. I'm going to go a little bit deeper than I normally do as far as our southwest area.
All righty.
Here in August is a very slow month for tournaments, but we do have one coming up next week on the 13th, and that's the Flax Masters, their tournament series, their number 3. That's happening in the Punta Gorda area. Now, next month in September, things are going to start to fire up a little bit. On September the 10th, we've got about 4 or 5 tournaments just on that one day. On the 10th, we've got Fish Like Mad tournament. That's out of Fort Myers Beach. And we've got the Sportsman Calusa Inshore Benefit out of Cape Coral. We have the LCEC United Way tournament out of Mount Lachey. And we also have another Flats Masters tournament series number 4 event out of the Punta Gorda area. So on the 10th, it's going to be a busy, busy Saturday for anybody that wants to tournament fish. They can find something there, that's for sure. On the 17th in September, we've got the 3rd annual Fish for a Truck Safety tournament that's out of Cape Coral. And we also have the 13th annual Burt's Redfish Challenge in Mount Lachey. On the 23rd, we have the Florida Farmers Invitational. That happens out of Cabbage Key in the Pineland area. And just to touch quick base on October a little bit, we've got October the 1st and 2nd, the Flats Masters Tournament Series up in Punta Gorda. They have their championship that weekend. They have day 1 on Saturday and day 2 on Sunday. And then also on Sunday, the 2nd of October, we are putting together our CCA Fishing Fundament program that we do every year. It's a benefit for a young man, Lee Roberts, who passed away. And it's a great fundraiser. We always draw a big crowd. We are able to put that together at the Cape Coral Yacht Club this year again. They have been very slow in getting their permits, taking that down, so we're looking forward to that. Also on the 8th, we have the 4th annual Southwest Fall Open down in Naples area. On the 15th, we have the T-Rex One Last Cast Tournament in Marco Island. And on the 22nd, we have Cast for Kids in Punta Gorda. And we also have on the 22nd, Emma's Hope Annual Fishing Tournament in Fort Myers.
Yes.
And the 5th annual Hook 'em in the Glades, Everglades City Tournament. And we have Cabbage Key, has a Cabbage Key Open on the 22nd as well. So a ton of tournaments starting to really fire up in September and October. That's going to be a peak time in what's happening. Central West area, we've got a few things going on. In September, we've got Titan the Drag Foundation, their 10th annual anniversary fall inshore slam, and that's in Clearwater. We also have the 10th annual Santa Fe Lady Raider Inshore Slam, and that's in Steinhatchee. And on the 15th, CCA has their Gainesville Banquet happening on that Thursday. Over on the East Coast, we've got a few things going on. In August, we have on the 12th, we have the 10th annual Bonito Blast. That's in Stewart. And on the 13th, we have the Kingfish Bonanza. That's in Port Orange. And on the 25th, we have the 9th annual Chasing Tails KDW Fishing Tournament, and that's out of Jupiter area. Up in the Panhandle area, we've got a couple things happening in August. We've got on the 13th, we have the Emerald Coast Redfish Circuit in Panama City. They have one of their events happening. And on the 20th, we have the Florida Redfish Series Kayak. This is a test tournament. This is they're starting a kayak tournament series, and it's going to be from Panama City all the way down to Steinhatchee. It will be kind of a virtual type tournament, so something for these guys that are looking for more kayak tournaments. I know a lot of these circuits are trying to bring the kayakers into some of these tournaments like we had with the IFA, hopefully that's going to work out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah,
so that's about all I've got for right now.
Yes.
And if anybody knows anything that's happening that I don't have up there, please shoot me an email, give me a call, let me know. Be glad to get it posted up there for everybody. It's all free service, and we're trying to get everything we can up there.
And all the information, Steve, is up on each one of the tournaments. So for folks who want to sign up, all they've got to do is go to fish-florida.com, and there's links to all the tournament sites in particular, correct?
Yeah, we have it all broke down into five different divisions of the state.
Yep.
And just find the date, click on the tournament. There's always going to be a phone number, contact, email, or a website to be able to find that tournament and get the information on it.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the update, Steve. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Steve.
All right, guys. Sounds great.
We'll catch up with you next Saturday.
Okay.
Get in home.
Take care. Bye-bye, Steve.
Right. See you guys.
See you.
Bye. That is Captain Steve Johnson calling in with fish-florida.com. And so we got a couple of minutes here. We got 5 minutes before our famous useless information segment.
Hold on a second here. That's because
what?
Hook 'em in the Glades, the 5th annual. He did mention that. It was really good of him to do that. And then, you know, like,
oh, you want to elaborate on that? Go ahead.
Yeah,
go for it, Jim.
That's a tournament that, you know, I help, you know, out. If anybody wants a custom rod, I do raffle one off. I actually raffle off about $500 in swag that I, you know, help to get them. This year, they do have a paddle division. They actually have 7 different divisions. And it's probably one of the cheapest bragging rights tournaments that you can actually enter into. And all the proceeds do go to the Everglades City School.
Cool. So when is
that's
that?
Great.
It's a great,
when is
great
it?
Tournament. It's a October 21st and 22nd.
So perfect.
It's a great time. Come, you know, this year I think they said they're doing it at the Gator Hole.
Proceeds go to the school. Yep.
Can they hire you for that tournament, or are you already booked?
No, I'm already in there.
Thought so.
Yeah. That one's that's my team, which is Which Way Did You Go? I think it's the name this year.
Got it.
Got
we always come up with something, you know. But,
all right. Well, we got a couple more text messages rolling in here. Clearly, our food conversation started something.
Uh-oh.
Gabe Kaplan's agent says, I'll admit that's what I had done with the Oreos and the milk, but I've also been yelled at numerous times as a kid to make sure I rinse my cup or the cookie crumbs turn into cement.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And then Bacon Wrapped Tater Bomb, which was newly dubbed with his online moniker here.
I still want
chiming in saying, peanut and bacon burgers. Peanut butter melts and flavors the burger. The maple bacon taste cuts through everything. Eat nice and slow. Thanks, Bacon Wrapped Tater Bomb. That's something I guess folks can try. I don't know about peanut butter. I could see peanut butter and bacon. I don't know about peanut butter and burger together. You think? Have you tried it before?
I tried it once at Ford's.
Yeah.
There's too much. I mean, too much peanut butter. On. Yeah, they've had like mayo on it and bacon.
Yeah, too many different.
For me, it was too many flavors, but. Yeah, peanut butter goes good on almost anything. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. Peanut butter goes, I mean, if you can make celery taste good.
Yeah, there you go.
Ants on a log.
That's good point.
Ants on a log.
Also, apparently we got a bunch of texts correcting me saying that we were talking about the Hydrox versus the Oreos.
Yeah.
And a couple of people said actually Hydrox were the original chocolate and cream cookie, and that Oreos stole the cookie from Hydrox.
No. Wow.
Really?
I still have never heard of
that. That's almost useless information.
I'm leading up to it, but, you know, Hydrox are terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never heard of them.
We might need to have a taste test. We can do that here in the studio next time.
All right, I'll bring Hydrox next week.
We'll do a take. Then I'll bring the Oreos.
There you go.
So we've got it. All right, and then baby sister texting in saying, good morning. We got a 48-inch snook off the bridge last night.
Nice.
Wow. I believe it.
What bridge? Where are they at?
Alex, come on.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, what city? I didn't hear the...
They didn't say.
Oh, okay.
They didn't say. They did not specify the bridge. And
they're
they
playing
did not
your game
say,
now, Alex.
Of course.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't
We're
blame
not
them.
Give
at least
up
give
that
us
info.
East Coast or West Coast.
Alex, it was a bridge, okay?
That's all
you need to know.
It was a bridge.
It was going over the Jupiter Causeway.
I was put on the phone with a rental boat customer who was broke down one time, and their description was, we are near the bridge. I'm like, okay, which bridge? The one with the diving pelicans. Okay. Well, that narrows it down to about 30 in Lee County. Are you in Lee County?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Okay, so just as a reminder, don't forget you can head on over to the ESPN Real Talk Radio Facebook page if you want advance notice of who's coming up on the show. And that's just facebook.com/ESPN Real Talk Radio. You can find me on Instagram. I'm at SheFishes2. That's the number 2. Captain Alex is at Spot On Charters, and Captain Jim Fortman is at Captain, spelled out, Jim Fortman on Instagram. You want to see what they're up to, what they've been catching out there. And, Rick, it's that time.
Look at that, 9:15, right on the dot.
Ding, 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 ding. Here you go, Gator
I'm really
Tom.
I'm tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless. And now from the world's ultimate book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information. Anything on Hydrox in there?
And this, and not today.
Okay. And is this second Next edition or third edition?
This is the Birds of a Feather edition. And we're going to kick it off with, to keep cool, ostriches and turkey vultures pee on their legs.
Oh, really?
I'm not trying.
Since birds don't sweat to cool off like people and other mammals do, some pee on their legs to cool off. Hmm. Don't get any ideas when it's 98 degrees
say,
out there,
yeah,
guys, and you're on a charter.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
guys,
I'm a diver,
girls.
And we pee
guys
on
and girls.
Stings, you know. So.
Yeah, jellyfish stings. Right. And then we're going to head into the fact that the kea is a New Zealand mountain bird that likes to eat the strips of rubber around car windows. In other words, weather stripping. The kea is a cunning native parrot that is famous for ripping rubber seals on car windows, around car windows apart, as well as windshield wipers.
Wow.
They are the world's only alpine parrot, so you're likely to see these intelligent birds in mountainous environments in the South Island of New Zealand.
and cover your cars, maybe.
I was just going to say, I guess that could be useful information if you want to avoid losing the weather stripping around your car
around
window.
An Alpine pilot, a pirate. Parrot.
Actually, a couple of years ago, they had down in Everglades National Park in Flamingo, the buzzards and, no, not the buzzards, the crows were pulling all of the plastic stripping off of the vehicles.
Really?
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And the windshield.
We got one more. We got one more here. Last, but certainly not least, roosters prevent themselves from going deaf due to their loud crowing by tilting their head backs when they crow, which covers their ear canals completely, serving as a built-in earplug.
Wow.
There you go.
That explains
the things you did not know about roosters.
Now we know why they put their head up when they do that. Oh, man.
A study showed that their crowing averages over 100 decibels, which is roughly the same decibel level as a running chainsaw.
Jeez.
There you go. Loud. They're loud.
They are loud.
Do not put your head up with a chainsaw.
And
though.
Jim, I know you're with me on this. There are actually some areas where I fish where I will hear those roosters crowing first thing in the morning as the sun is coming up.
I have a couple of neighbors.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And by the way, baby sister did text back and she said it was the bridge on Estero Bay.
Good.
There's good enough.
That's a nice fish.
It down just a little bit?
That's a nice fish.
Wait, did it have the lights on it?
No more questions.
No more.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, and now it is time to give away a $25 gift card to the Twisted Fork.
Free food!
In Port Charlotte, located in Burt's Black Widow Harley-Davidson dealership, featuring burgers, pizza, beer, and drink specials. And those burgers may or may not have peanut butter on them. All right, so phone lines. Check the menu. Phone lines, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Free food!
And we are heading off to a break. The ninth caller, you're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back!
David Crockett had a pint in his pocket, good whiskey at the Alamo. Now I bet Pancho Villa had a jug of tequila when he walked the streets of old Mexico.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I am in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Alex Dolinsky of Spot On Charters, and Captain Jim Fortman of Captain Jim Fortman's Backwater Charters. Good morning.
Yeah,
we are rolling into the last half hour of Real Talk Radio.
Sweet.
Still a lot we got to squeeze in here in a little bit of time. We
Congratulations, by the way,
happen.
To winner. Chef Lou.
Chef Lou.
Chef Lou from Estero was the caller tonight.
We love Chef Lou.
Yes, Chef Lou was our ninth caller and got a $25 gift card for our friends at Twisted Fork.
That is awesome.
Nice.
Congratulations, Chef Lou. Fantastic stuff. All right, so we got a text from Monkeyhead. He's saying pictures or it didn't happen regarding the 48-inch snook. He said, by the way, Captain Deb, I caught a 48-inch snook too. It just wasn't in the picture with these three cichlids I caught in the last hour.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, or maybe baby sister just wants to protect their fishing spot.
Yeah.
It could be
one or the other.
You don't know.
What do we say? There's seven bridges on the Estero Bay?
Yeah, there's seven bridges on the Estero Bay.
Well, and baby sister said it was the bridge on Estero Bay with a wink emoji. Yeah, the wink emoji. And then our friend Crazy Alberto checking in.
He says he was coming.
Crazy Al here. Awesome 10,000 Islands versus Estero Bay debate. Please elaborate on the night fishing for trophy snook with artificials.
By the way,
my favorite fishing snack happens to be Oreos cookies, along with his Capri Suns.
Well, there you go.
This one's for you, Alberto. You probably already know that because we have the full moon coming up, and when it gets up high, use a black lure.
Dark.
Contrast. Purple.
Yeah, well, see, and that
my
was going to be...
My favorite, black and chartreuse.
That was going to be one of my next questions for you guys, is how do you think, or from your experience, do you feel that there is a difference given fishing in your respective areas? Obviously, Estero Bay, there's a lot more development. There's a lot of light pollution from all the hotels. I mean, you know, you're dealing with very different environments, whereas when you're down in the 10,000 Islands, it is pitch black down there.
Oh, yeah. You turn the lights off down there. And
the lights are off.
Yeah. So
the lights
are
off.
Do you think there's any difference fishing in your respective areas on a full moon? I mean, obviously, the moons affect the tides as well, but...
Yeah, well, the full moon down there, this is why I like, you know, when I do night fishing, I'm usually up around some of the canal systems. I like to do... I used to do a lot on 41, but I like topwater lures.
Yeah.
Where when the moon is full and it's casting that light down, why you want to use a darker lure is because you're actually making that silhouette.
You want that dark silhouette.
Yeah, I like using the Skitterwalk used to make it. You might still be able to find it where it was a black body with a chartreuse head.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes that silhouette. And of course you want to use something that has some rattles on it. They want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And they want to hear that disturbance on the surface. But when that light's shining down on that, it is just like being, you know, in Estero Bay underneath the light, you know, and you'll just see all the snook. I mean, everything comes to the surface. Everything starts to come alive. You start to see phosphorescence in the water down there. You still see it in Estero Bay, I believe. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You'll start seeing squid moving around.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
Through,
yep, sharks going through. It is probably the best time to boat down there if you're going to ever do night fishing in the 10,000 Islands because, like I tell everybody, if you don't have a lot of lights on your boat, those islands tend to jump out in front of you while you're cruising through. But on a full moon night, you can actually see your way around because it's reflecting on the water.
Sure.
Believe it or not, you know, like a lot of people, it's almost like having a light version of the sun, you know.
I like new moon because things are darker and we have a lot more dock lights and I'll work the edges of those lights.
Yeah,
completely different. New moon down there, you don't see nothing. I mean, it's all you do.
You really want to learn what that shadowing profile does next time you're out at the beach with your boat. If it's not bottom painted, go under it at the beach when you're, you know, having fun. Look up in the sun. You can't see that boat as well as you can see a boat that's bottom painted or a dark hull. So that silhouette, that contrast and bright to dark, along with sound are your two factors, in muddy water or low vis water.
Yeah.
So sound and contrast.
Yeah, sound and contrast.
And that's where colors come in. I don't know that the color itself matters as much as the contrast. How well can they pick that up that's different than the other things?
Yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to head over to the phones because we've got our friend Gator Tom. Standing by.
Got my hand on the red button.
Uh-oh.
Gator Tom, what's going on, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's about time you got really talented people in there instead of the, stuffed shirts that you've been having lately.
Stuffed shirts.
I don't know. Our host is pretty darn talented. I learn a lot from her.
I don't know. I kind of feel bad. I'm just out here winging it, man.
I'm talking about Jim and Alice. They're the best.
They are awesome.
We are two of the three of the best in the room today. Let me put it that way.
Yes, you are. And I don't know why you're talking about all this bait and different types of hooks and lures. All you need is two boxes of Publix fried chicken, one for you and one for the fish, and you'll bring home everything.
Oh, here I thought you were going to say a stick of dynamite.
Hey, there is something with that fried chicken
and the Publix chicken. No, he is right on the chicken. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I remember.
I mean, that's a must have when you're.
I remember Gator Tom when I first took the show over from Rob. It was one of my first shows. Somebody sent in a video clip.
Yes.
Where they caught a snook
yes.
on a piece of Publix fried chicken.
Yes. Yeah. That was a big topic of conversation.
It was.
In the early days.
But most people do not want to waste their Publix fried chicken
correct.
As bait.
But that's why Tom
fishing.
Said bring one for you and one for the fish.
He was thinking. He's right. Yeah.
I
filleted a grouper once that had baby back ribs in it.
Did you really?
Yeah, and the only reason I know they were baby back is because one of the guys on the boat was snacking on those and dropping
and
the
dropped
bones.
Him overboard. He was
so
tossing
I don't
him
know
overboard.
If the action of it dropping or the oil on it, whatever, but that grouper had like four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no kidding. Seriously.
We were grouper fishing out, me and my buddy Scott, and it was ever since this time. He wound up catching a nice grouper and it hit the deck. And the first thing that popped out of its mouth was a chicken bone that we've been throwing over the side.
Yeah.
So ever since then, we always had a box of chicken bones.
That's vertical
chicken wings.
It's good to hear from you, Gator Tom.
Yes.
Yep. Well, just remember this. I'll be down there soon.
Uh-oh.
Tom is relocating to the area from what I understand.
All right,
Rick
and
right.
I have, Rick and I have been warned.
Yes, we're going to talk
a double bridge in mind.
we're going to be discussing this situation with security very soon, Tom. Don't you worry.
You'll know when I come.
Yeah, we are. We sure will.
Bring us some Oreos.
High drop.
No.
No.
Double stuffed.
Yeah, double stuffed Oreos. Yeah.
Okay, that's what you want. That's what you'll get.
All right,
Gator Tom, we'll be on the lookout.
All right.
Thanks for checking in, my friend.
You'll see.
We will.
All right.
Oh, and I got to tell you the story about going up to the Shell Factory for happy hour.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
I don't like how this is starting.
Oh, boy.
I ran into a guy up there named Jimmy. Who's teaching me how to date older women instead of younger women?
That's no good.
Well, good for you. No, that's, you know, listen, Gator Tom's ancient. He should be leaving the younger girls alone.
And?
That's more your speed.
Did it work? Did it work?
I'm lost for words that Rick would throw me underneath the bus like that.
Hey, come on, man.
You know Rick kids.
Yeah, that's right.
He kids.
I kid because I care.
If he's not making fun of you, there's a problem, Gator Tom.
Yeah, but this friend of mine, Jimmy, he's getting palimony from one of them. Another one is buying him a brand new F-350 crew cab. He said, older women buy you stuff. Mm. Younger women, you got to buy them stuff.
Exactly. That's a good thing.
I'm not commenting.
I'm not saying a thing.
These guys are quiet.
So I'll tell you the rest of that story with my good friend Jimmy up there.
All right.
There you go.
All right, Tom. Well,
all right, guys. You have it good. I'll be there soon.
It's like a warning.
I know. Thanks for that, Gator Tom. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank
bye.
You. Bye now.
Bye, Gator Tom. Southwest Florida has been warned.
That's right.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, we got a text message coming in from the good doctor, too. He says, good morning. I always enjoy y'all's show. Very good fishing tips. Thanks, y'all. Yeah, and then Extra Pulp says he's talking about Cousin Jimmy from the
Golf
Show.
That's so funny that one just went right over my head. But that is true. For those who listen to the Golf Show, that is Cousin Jimmy's strategy. That's Andy's cousin who's kind of a character on the show.
Yeah.
Who has come up with the same theory. Just go to the Shell Factory and look for older women. That's the way to do it.
You know,
dating advice.
I always thought Gator Tom was from my area, you know, down in the Everglades City area. That's because, I mean, he fits right in.
Hey, there you go.
You go out towards Chuckalusky. I mean, they always say there's two sides of Chuckalusky.
Yeah, the Gator Tom side
somebody,
and the other
somebody
side.
Somebody you might run into at Stan's Idle Hour down there, right? Yeah. So, all right, another question I have for you guys is wildlife. Indicative of fish activity in your respective areas. So, Alex, what are you looking for when you're out there?
Wildlife as in true wildlife, not drunken tourists. Yeah, okay. Just checking.
True wildlife. It is important to clarify because, you know, we're talking spring break.
There's a lot of wild.
Talking bow riders? Are you talking?
Well, you know, any shoreline or any shoreline of an oyster bar or edge, if you see birds, fish it. There's a reason
any
they're there.
Any specific type of bird?
Well, I don't want to get too specific, but
okay.
The white ones.
Okay.
How's that?
That's kind of like the bridge.
I should say just wading birds. If there's wading birds there,
yeah.
Generally I'm going to find redfish.
Now, do they have
and stuff like that. Villages? If I see pelicans and stuff like that, which are generally getting a little bit bigger bait,
yeah.
It's going to be more snook, you know, along the edge or jacks even. So I like the wading white birds.
Okay.
Any of the species that we have here.
Wading white birds. Yeah. Jim?
I look for fish eating other fish myself, but as far as you know, you're the 10,000 Islands is a giant wildlife sanctuary
pops.
For birds.
Right. So, those big pops that you hear.
We have every single kind of bird, but just like Alex was saying, there's a specific bird for, you know, for redfish and drum, and mm-hmm. then you got a specific bird for, you know, snook and redfish and jacks that, you know, that the active fish. As far as,
but you're not going to elaborate on the specific bird.
The one specific bird is white, and he has a cousin that's gray.
There you go.
Okay,
and
so there's
another
hint.
One that's got green into it, and then we have another one that's got like this. It almost looks like something you would stir.
There you go.
With
okay, yeah,
they're pink and they're white in my area.
Uh-huh.
And then we got a hooked-bill one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, the key to all this is if the birds aren't there and active,
yeah,
fish are probably not active, correct? If they're up in the trees just sitting there.
You're not seeing it. And then we got this one that's got a giant bucket mouth. And I will give you a hint on that one. That's because it's going to tell you what profile to use if you're using artificials. If you see this bucket mouth looking bird picking his head up real slow,
yeah,
you want to use a smaller bait.
Right. He picks it up fast.
He picks it up fast.
Mm-hmm.
Use a bigger bait.
Bigger bait. So.
Or you could just look down into the water, and if you see bigger baits.
Oh, come on, that's too easy.
Or
you didn't ask that.
If you've never seen it before, but I've actually seen birds get their heads stuck in the mud in my area. So it's
yet you're right with the pelicans, too. If they slow up, it's a lot of small bait. Up quicker, it's bigger bait, and you want to try to match that.
Yeah.
So probably finger mullet if he's doing it quick, or what do you call it, little glass minnows?
Well, we have glass minnows mixed in with every other kind of fry right now. But another hint, too, if you're seeing a lot of pelicans, there's probably a lot of mangrove snapper in the area.
Yep. So. Good point.
Yeah, we just got an awesome picture that was texted in.
Is it the snook?
We got it. No, it is not. It is a picture of a young man holding up his bluegill very proudly, and it says, Parker Briggs, reeling him in today at Saratoga Lake Park in Cape Coral. Love it. Go Parker Briggs.
Yes, I know that
He's
family.
Wearing his Minnesota Vikings shirt, Rick. You would
oh,
be
yeah.
extra proud of him.
Nice.
Yeah, go Parker.
I didn't even see fish, man. I just saw the Vikings.
Right? Of course you did. Of course you did. All right, so we got a couple more minutes. Couple more minutes here before we have to head off to a break. But, yeah, so, all right.
Till the end of the show.
We're
not going to jinx it.
No, not till the end of the show.
Look for wildlife, people. If there's not movement, there's not birds, there's not activity, chances are it's you got no current or something's not right in that area or your tide's dead.
Yeah.
And move on.
Pay attention to the wildlife, for real. I mean,
that's
something that I really noticed earlier this week because when we were out chasing peacock bass, we got a few to take, but on artificials and fly, it was much more challenging the first mm-hmm. part of this week. The latter part of this week, things got
switch flipped
literally. But I also noticed that I went out Monday and Tuesday morning. The bird that's in the tree right outside our condo was not chirping away. And we have in our, it's not a good thing, especially because people have a lot of pets in our neighborhood, but we have a lot of cane toads in our neighborhood, and those cane toads were nowhere to be found. And there wasn't that like thick humidity in the air that there normally is. Yeah, it was drier because that Saharan dust. And of course, you know, one of my clients who booked me, Bob, if you're listening, this is for you. I messaged him and he's like, well, you know, I really want to fish, you know, X, Y, Z. I want to use these artificials. And I'm like, all right, but I got to tell you, you know, what happened this week. And he's like, that is the best excuse I have ever heard. Saharan dust for the fishing being challenging. So, yeah, he had to give me a hard time about that. But
give us an hour. We'll come up with all kinds of excuses.
Yeah, we're fishermen.
There was noticeably less humidity. We didn't have those storms coming in. You know, normally by 11, 12 o'clock, I'm getting off the water because I know those storms are about to roll in at lunchtime.
I fished that day, Thursday, and it was partly cloudy, cooler, a little more of a northeast breeze. To me, that should have turned on the fish, but it was the hardest day I had all week.
Yeah.
The same day you're talking about. It just was tough, but it was partly cloudy, a little disturbance on the water. The fish should have moved and eaten.
Yeah.
We got to head off to another break. But more, hold that thought, Jim. Hold that thought. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean. Set me up on my pony, on my boat.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with guest co-host Captain Jim Fortman and Captain Alex Stolinski. And we've been talking Estero Bay versus the 10,000 Islands. Good morning. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry.
Jim, what are you doing over there? Checking the tides?
No. I know which way the tides are going.
You better.
Yeah.
No, uh-huh.
They're heading out right now is what they're doing down south. So, and it's probably picking up. No, I'm looking for a picture, a certain picture. And I'm starting to notice that I have way too many pictures in my phone.
Yeah, well, we've got less than 10 minutes, and you've got a story to tell about your trip this past week.
All right.
So it's time to spill.
Well, we had a great bite all week until yesterday. We just tried everything. We were throwing everything and just couldn't get any bites to metabolize anywhere we went. In fact, we didn't even catch a catfish, which is the first time in a long time that I've seen
that. That was my Thursday.
Yep. And you get these bites, and like I tell people all the time, sometimes it's too nice. Sometimes it's, you know, things that you can't control. Like my client eating a certain thing right before the trip.
Oh, no.
What?
Now, I chalked this up to karma because...
What color was that thing?
It was yellow. And like I tell a lot of my clients, you know, before they even go out fishing with me, I send over, you know, a confirmation email, tells you what to bring, what not to bring. And in the little bottom, it tells you...
Disclaimer.
A disclaimer. So...
Be held responsible if...
He knew that he had eaten that. His partner knew that it, and they held that information from me all day, all morning, until we were heading in, and where he turned
over. So he ate it right before he got on the
boat? Yep, and his partner literally turned to him and said, you did eat one. He goes, you got to tell him. You ate it. So
he still had it in possession then.
Yep, still have it in possession, you know. You don't give it enough time to digest, it is not out of your system. So, and like I tell everybody, don't tempt fate. Fate will always get you in the end. You know, you want to push it, That's fine.
Alex, what's your stance on that? Do you allow the bees on your boat? I guess that's a yes.
Well, yeah, I eat like one a morning, so.
Okay, but not.
I'm technically in possession.
Oh, so. On the boat.
Yeah, because if I eat it, it's still with me, right?
So, well, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
You think it's just a total myth?
Well, how I understood it started was back in the days when they had wooden ships and they hauled bananas from wherever they come from over here. If you were a person put
South
on that
America.
Ship, right?
He just said it.
Crossing.
I'm glad the show's over in 4 minutes. Cause
that's why I say that.
You're in there with that yellow fruit. Is
yeah,
that
there
right?
You go, yeah.
You're in there with that yellow fruit, and they have spiders in them. And it would be, you know, it was not good to get on a boat full of those, because if one of those spiders bit you, you're probably going to die.
Yeah. Spiders.
It was taboo to be on a boat with the yellow fruit.
Yeah.
Now, to me, my taboo, I don't know about Jim in the Everglades, but I would much rather have a windy, negative tide day where the water's chalky and stuff versus having a day that's Chamber of Commerce where it's flat as a lake.
It's clear,
no breeze,
clear skies.
Yeah. I do better on a rougher, crappier day if I had to choose which was my bad to go out on versus that beautiful, calm day.
Yeah. Cause
what do you think?
And I would actually agree with that one, because sometimes the best looking day can just be your worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer, you know, nice and calm in the morning, and then the wind starts to pick up. That usually you can see what's going on. You got, you know, different fisheries, but when that water's dirty, and it's like one of the other older captains that I know said, the dirtier the water, the less they can see you.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a major thing, you know.
If you dive and you're underwater, or just snorkel, and if it's a flat, calm day, go underwater, it's quiet.
It is
now
quiet.
Go underwater with a little bit of wind, it's noisy and crackly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, in Estero Bay, we are more camouflaged sound-wise.
Yeah,
on a day with
a
little bit of wind.
You're more stealthy.
You blend in than you are that flat, calm mill pond type of day.
Right. Yeah.
And the worst is bluebirds, guys.
Yes. That's the kiss of death, dude.
That is the kiss of death.
That's my yellow fruit.
You might as well have a bushel on.
But my best friend, you know, he's got a yellow charter boat, and he does pretty well.
He's not going to have that yellow charter boat for much longer. I think the new one's gray. He's got a gray hull. Yeah.
He's changing it up, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, now he's going to look like FWC. People are going to run
right?
from him.
Actually,
he's learning.
There was a boat.
Well played.
I was at the mechanic shop the other day, and I literally walk in, and I thought he was working on an FWC. One of those PT boats.
Right.
And it's some new boat that's out, and it's a double step, like ski style. But this thing, you look right at it, and you're like, this is an FWC boat. what is this doing in here? The only thing it was missing was blue lights.
There you go.
But,
yeah, anyway. Okay. And before I forget, this is important to mention. See, I can see Barry Cuda doing this.
Uh-oh.
So the Florida Python Challenge kicked off. This was yesterday, August 5th, and there are over 800 participants from 32 states and Canada that are beginning their search to find and remove the invasive Burmese pythons from the Everglades ecosystem.
Participants
can win thousands of dollars in prizes while removing the pythons from the wild. So it goes from yesterday, the 5th, and runs through 5 p.m. on August 14th. So, so far to date, I guess the milestone is FWC's program or their contractors have removed more than 10,000 Burmese pythons from the wild in the state of Florida. So hopefully they get a ton more. And I remember last year afterwards, they sent out a press release with an update on, you know, the biggest python that was caught and the biggest number and who won and how much.
I wonder how
they
are blackened. That's what did in redfish, right?
Yeah.
Blackened python
with
peanut butter. Blackened python with peanut butter.
I wish someone would find something for, like, catfish. I mean, just some type of recipe that makes them taste good. That's because that would make my job so much easier. Just, oh, you want something to bring home? Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, you want to cook it this way.
Oh, yikes.
But, you know, there are actually some recipes for Python. I'm sure they have a couple.
I would think
so. I'm sure there's some out there. It's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick Church, the director of the show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Jim, for being here this morning. Right,
thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday. Same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
I'm sorry it's ended. Oh, it's sad. But it's true, honey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.